firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
What's the secret to spirit-filled living? Well, that's what we'll find out on Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus as we set off on another great adventure in God's Word. We're in Romans, of course, chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. So grab your Bible, and while you do, I'll share a letter from a fellow passenger named John in Farmington, Arkansas. I'm 52 years old and walked that old Romans road back in December of 1992. It was a great surprise to me that I accepted Jesus of Nazareth as my Lord and Savior. I had only 2 weeks before said that I would never attend a Christian church and worship that Christian God. I doubt if my prayer warrior grandmother was surprised in the least. At 28 years old and without attending church, I was brought to saving grace in Jesus Christ by a friend on a chilly December night. It was a Sunday night, as I recall. After I got home, I called all the Christians that I knew, all two of them, and told them the exciting news. Along with the discipleship of my friend, I listened to several preachers and teachers back then. And then one day I heard this southern drawl talking about the Word of God, and I wondered why they let him have the microphone. But as I listened, I noted his name and the name of his ministry, and I listened to him again and again. Soon I got a sense of his heart for his brothers and sisters in Christ. It really seemed like his heart was broken and spilled out for the love of Christ. 25 years later, I still listen often to Dr. McGee on the radio and through your app. May God continue your ministry until his word has accomplished the purpose for which it was sent. Well, thanks, John, for your encouraging letter. It is a pleasure to fellowship with you on the Bible bus. And what's your story? What are you learning as we travel through God's word? What lessons have made a difference in your life? Well, we'd love to hear from you, and you can do that in several ways. You can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org. You can also write to us at Through the Bible, Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, reveal to us the wonderful workings of your Spirit, who gives us the strength and power to live this Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come today back to this marvelous 8th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. And I trust you found your place there. We're going to put in at verse 9. But we are in a section here, and I'd like for you to notice the subjects we've given to the different sections in the 8th chapter. All things are new here. Old things have passed away. And we saw that at the very beginning, there's a new law now, and that is the law of the Spirit of life. He doesn't work in a haphazard manner. And that you have the Holy Spirit versus the law, the Mosaic law, or any principle of law. And that living the Christian life is by the Holy Spirit. And the new struggle today, we never escape that. But thank God we can't overcome, but the Holy Spirit can overcome the flesh. Now we are in this section dealing with the new struggle. And as we indicated last time, and I want to go over this very briefly, for those who are according to flesh, that is, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those according to the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. In other words, they that are after the flesh, they'll mind the things of the flesh. Now that means they obey the things of the flesh. I was holding a meeting in Middle Tennessee when I was first ordained. I was having dinner in a lovely country home, and the housewife had cooked up some wonderful fried chicken. We were sitting at the table. She went out to call her little boy, and she came back in after she'd called him several times, and she says, "That young'un won't mind me." And what she meant was, that young'un won't obey me. Paul, you see, was actually a good southerner because he uses this word, they mind the things, they obey the things of the flesh. And now we've seen that before in the 6th chapter of Romans. This idea today of a Christian saying, well, I just have to do this. I live in the flesh. My friend, if you live in the flesh and obey the things of the flesh all the time, and the new nature doesn't rebuke you, you must not have a new nature. Because they that are after the Spirit, they'll mind the things of the Spirit. And you've been given a new nature, and now you can yield yourself to the new nature. And that's an act of the will. And this is the new struggle that's brought to our attention. Now, will you notice again verse 6, for the mind of the flesh, that's death. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, there's one thing for sure, that if you are living in the flesh and you are a child of God, you are not having fellowship with God. You can't. The Lord Jesus in the upper room said to Simon Peter, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Now, friends, he meant that. He'll not fellowship with you or with me if we are permitting sin in our lives and continue to live in the flesh. Well, somebody says, what we're to do? Do what Simon Peter had to do. Stuck out his feet and let the Lord wash them. And you and I need to go to him in confession. If we confess our sins, who's we? We Christian. He is faithful and just when he does it. Because it'll take the blood of Christ, my friend. You and I do not know how wicked that old nature is. And we need to go to him. And as Donnie said years ago, Lord, I confess that thou alone art able to purify this Augean stable. Be the seas water and all the land soap. Yet if thy blood not wash me, there's no hope. And John says in 1 John again, that first chapter, he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. You and I can imagine this old nature we have is totally depraved. God has no plan to redeem it. He gives us a new nature. And you and I can't live for God in that old nature. If you continue to live in that old nature, must not be a child of God. Somebody says then, if a child of God sins, what's the difference between him and the lost man? The difference is simply this. The lost man goes out at night, and he paints the town red, and he comes in and he says, I'll get a bigger brush and a bigger bucket of paint next time. Wow, he says, I want to live it up. The child of God will come in if he does a thing like that, and he'll cry out to God, oh God, I hate myself. And you'll hate that old nature you got. And this idea today that you can somehow or another train it and live in it, you cannot, my friend. And that's the thing that leads to these legalists today that are, well, I call them Priscilla Goodbodies and Goody Goody Gumdrops. Oh, those sweet, lovely people that are trying today to control the flesh, and they're so pious. And I want to tell you they're the worst gossips you've ever met. Dr. Newell has put down some very interesting statements. I'd like to pass them on to you. To hope to be better is to fail to see yourself in Christ only. This idea, oh, I hope to do better. Well, you know you're not. You need to see yourself in Christ today. And that only the Spirit of God can move through you. And then he says again, to be disappointed with yourself, that means you believed in yourself. Somebody says, oh, I'm so disappointed in myself. Well, you better be disappointed in yourself. No good thing's going to come out of that flesh, friends. Stop believing in yourself and believe that the Spirit of God today can enable you through the new nature to live for God. And then, may I say, to be discouraged, that's unbelief. Somebody says, oh, I'm so discouraged. Why, my friend, that means you don't believe God. God has a purpose and a plan, a blessing for you. And you need to lay hold of it. And to be proud is to be blind. We have no standing before God in ourselves. Oh, my friend, to see yourself as God sees you. As Mel tried to put it, if we could see ourselves as God sees us, we couldn't stand ourselves. That's how bad we are. And the lack of divine blessing, my friend, it comes from unbelief and not a failure of devotion. I get so tired of these dedicated Christians today. And believe me, friends, I am sick and weary of these super-duper pious, dedicated Christians. They talk about that. My friend, the lack of divine blessing comes because we do not believe God. It's not because of a lack of devotion. Oh, to believe God today. Now, real devotion to God arises not from man's will to show it, but from the discovery that blessing has been received from God while we were yet unworthy and undevoted. Anything I get from God does not come through my devotion. I have anything to offer Him. It comes because of His marvelous grace. And this idea to preach devotion today, and I've seen these folk troop down to dedicate their lives in services, and I got so sick and tired of seeing that same crowd come down, and that same crowd, you could not trust them, my friend. You could not trust them. They were liars. They were dishonest and gossips, and they'll crucify you. May I say to you, you do not need to dedicate yourself. What you need today is to believe God can do something, and you can't do anything. Now, somebody says that's pretty strong. I hope that it is. I intend for it to be that way, because Paul is making it very clear here. The carnal mind is enmity against God. You're a spiritual Bolshevik, if you please, in your old nature. Now he says, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Oh, how important that is to see. Now I come to verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now, this if here, this first if, is actually not in the original. Paul is not casting a doubt over the Roman salvation. They are saved. But what he's saying, and let me give you my translation, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God really dwells in you. That's the real test. But if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. That's the test. And Paul could even say to the Corinthians, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? That's 1 Corinthians 6:19. And when Paul went over to Ephesus that first time, and these people were saying they were Christians, he missed something. He asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Not after, but when you believed. And they said, we don't even know what you're talking about. He said, then what was your baptism? It was unto John. And John's baptism was just unto repentance. It was not to faith in Jesus Christ. And he began to preach Christ to them. Then they received the Holy Spirit, my friend. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And that's the real test today. Do you love Him? Do you want to serve Him? Is that the thing that's in your mind and heart? Are you in rebellion against God? Now, it's wonderful to know that the Spirit of God is there to help us. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Again, let me read this in my translation. Now, if Christ be in you, the body indeed is dead because of or on the count of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. What he's saying here is this, that you and I are in Christ. And when we're in Christ, it means that when He died, we died. And we are to reckon on that. We've already been told that. And we're to yield, that is, present our bodies. And again, this idea of saying, oh, I can't, I've tried, and all that type of talk today, that's not the language of a believer today. We're to turn this over to Christ. And Paul could say, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, the life I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And I think a believer today, I mean, if you are not conscious of the presence of the Spirit of God in your life, and that you have a desire to want to serve God, then you do well to do what Paul says. examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? That's 2 Corinthians 13:5. And the Lord wants us to know, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, his last invitation is, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I'll come in to him. Is the door open? Has he come in to you? My friend, the body has been put in the place of death. And that is something the child of God should reckon on and should turn his life over to the Spirit of God. And to say very definitely, I can't do it, Lord, but you can do it through me. Now, verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by Spirit that dwelleth in you. We are going to see a little later on in this epistle that you and I have this old body is going to be put in a grave one of these days if the Lord tarry, but it's going to be raised in newness of life. And that actually we groan today in these old bodies of ours. But the indwelling Holy Spirit is the assurance that our bodies will be raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. And we are to be raised from the dead. And the Holy Spirit will deliver us from the body of this death. That's this old nature. It should be put in the place of death. Now he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. In other words, we are not to live after the flesh. And God has created man today. He created him body, mind, and spirit. And when man sinned, his spirit died immediately. But the Lord said, in the day ye eat thereof, you'll die. Now, actually, Adam didn't die till 900 and some odd years later, physically. But he died spiritually. That is, death means separation from God. And actually, man was turned upside down, and the body became dominant, and the old nature became dominant, the flesh, and man is dead spiritually. Now, regeneration means you're turned right side up, that you're born again spiritually, and you have a nature that today wants to serve God. Oh, my friend, to stay close to Christ today, that's the important thing. These people that are so active today in churches, busy as termites, and Christ is a million miles from them. He's in outer space as far as they're concerned. And this old nature of ours, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, Paul says in verse 12. You don't have to do it. Now, the natural man, he tells you, we got to eat. He owes it to his flesh to satisfy it. I hear that on every hand today. A movie star said, I live for sex. He satisfies nature. And he says, I have to have my needs met. You hear that on every hand today. And it's plunged us in the grossest immorality. My friends, the flesh is a low-down, dirty rascal. And all of us have got that rascal, by the way. Now, verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That is, you die to God, no fellowship with him. You know this. I'm not talking about a theory today. If you are a child of God, when you sin, what do you do? Do you want to go to a prayer meeting? Do you want to go to church? Do you want to read the Bible? Do you want to pray? Of course you don't. You're in a state and you're separated from God. But if you're through the Spirit, you can't do it yourself. Mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And what is your problem today? What's your hang-up? Let's be practical. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty and deal with this thing in reality. What is your hang-up? Drink? Oh, you say, I don't drink. Drugs? Not yours. How about sex? Oh, somebody says, oh, no. Well, what do you think about? What about your thought life? How about your gossip? Do you tell the truth? Then why don't you go to God today and confess these things? Turn it over to the Holy Spirit. Why don't you deal with it in reality today and stay off of the psychiatrist's couch? He won't help you. He can shift your guilt complex to another area. Can't get rid of it. You got it, friend. And only Christ can remove it. He's in that business today. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll rest you. You know what it is, have sins forgiven. That's what he's talking about here. I'd love to dwell on this, but I have to move on. Now we come to this new section here, beginning with verse 14. And you have here the new man, the Son of God, and you have the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of man. Now we're told, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. That makes sense, does it not? God doesn't drive his sheep. He leads them. You remember when our Lord told of the safety and security of the sheep, he made it clear that they are not forced into the will of his hand and that of his Father. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I drive them out. Oh, no, they follow me. They're the ones that are safe and secure, friends. They follow him. They are led by the Spirit of God. And they follow him. They hear his voice. They got a new nature. I found out in preaching a long time ago as a pastor. I've always tried to preach the Word of God. And I found out that those that are his sheep, they hear his voice. And the others, oh boy, do they hate you. And will they fight you? You know why? They're not his sheep. You give out his word. He said that. He says, now the world hated me. They're going to hate you. Now, if you're a friend of the world, something's wrong. A pastor came to me, a young man. He said, I'm having all kinds of trouble. I said, what kind of trouble? Well, I said, with my officers, Sunday school teachers. And I said, what's the problem? He said, well, I've been teaching the Bible. I've been trying to follow you through the Bible course. I said, well, thank God. I said, you're going to find out that there are a lot of them not his sheep. His sheep will follow him, friends. They just have to because they're his sheep, you see. And that's what he's saying here. Now he says here, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's not that spirit of fear within you, wondering about your spiritual condition and unhappy and despondent while you're filled with joy. You're now his child, and the Spirit of God just wells up in you and says, Abba, Father. Now, that word Abba was never translated. The translators at the beginning who had great reverence for the Word of God, who believed it was the Word of God, they wouldn't translate it. I'm told that it's very personal. It could be translated, my daddy. My friends, you don't talk about God like that, do you? I know there are a lot of them today getting very familiar, but that's blasphemy. We don't do that. But the Spirit of God within us. And I think it's in time of trouble, especially. I found this true when I went to hospital. I turned my face to the wall just like old Hezekiah did. And I said, Lord, I've been in this hospital many, many times. And I patted the hands of folk and had prayer with them and then just told them, oh, you trust the Lord, he'll see you through. I said, Lord, I've told them that, but this is the first time I've been here. I want to know whether it's true or not. I want you to make it real to me. If you're my Father, I want to know it. And I know it, friend. He'll make it real to you. He cries out, Abba, Father, just wells up within you. He's my Father. And you just commit yourself to him. And how sweet it is to trust him. Oh, how I'd love to talk about that also. Now he says, and if children then, as of God, and join as with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I think it's since we suffer with him. I think that the if there's not near as big as it's been made. I think that actually it just means here, what are you enduring today? Well, Paul makes it clear elsewhere that this is just a light thing we're going through now. But there's a weighty thing, an eternal weight of glory that's coming someday. And I think a great many of us, when we get in eternity, will wish that we had suffered a little bit more for him. Because that's the way he schools us and trains us. And whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines. And that's his method. Some of God's dear children are going through a great deal today. We're going to have to leave off there today. I'd love to continue, but we'll pick right up there tomorrow. Oh, this section is rich as cream, friends.
If life is difficult for you right now, be sure to join us tomorrow as Dr. McGee tells us about the glory that God has in store for those who walk with him. Until then, if you'd like to listen to today's message again or maybe share it with a family member or friend, then visit our website at ttb.org where it's available for free. And while you're there, why don't you check out our beautiful new wall calendar for 2018. It's called Through Every Open Door. This is Through the Bible's first world-focused calendar, so it's pretty important for us, with beautiful pictures of every month of an open door somewhere in the world. And we chose these images to inspire you to pray for the open door to the gospel in a different region every month. And then it also includes great quotes from Dr. McGee and the monthly Bible schedule for our daily broadcast study. You can order yours at ttb.org/shop or by calling 1-800-65-BIBLE. The Bible Bus will be back in your neighborhood again tomorrow. I'm Steve Schwetz, grateful for you and your partnership in taking God's whole word to the whole world. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.